Good morning. Oh, I like it. I like it. Glad to see you today. Before we get started in worship, a few announcements I'd like to draw your attention to. The first that we make every week, we invite all members and guests. We'd like to find out who is in worship today. And the way we do that is the pew pads that you'll find on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests to write your name down, give us any contact information, and also check the appropriate boxes. This helps us find out who is in worship today. We do ask once if you could send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out. Once it gets to that last person, if you could send it back to where it got started. We do ask that first person, when it comes back to you, would you please tear out those pages, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Many of our announcements are listed in your bulletin under upcoming events as well as opportunities for the week. Draw your attention to a couple of things. Normal schedule today for youth, one change. Youth choir is at 5 instead of 4:30. I want to make note of that, but everything else is normal that you'll see listed there throughout the week. We are having a community day of prayer. I don't know if you're going to mention that a little bit later. Let me go ahead and do it. Community day of prayer tomorrow. We're opening the doors to our community just to spend some time in prayer here in the sanctuary. There is no organized program. It is just from 8 until 8. The sanctuary will be open, and we encourage you to come to spend time in prayer, in fellowship with other believers. And so we encourage you to be a part of that. Let me see. Family ministry team, this is youth council, children's council, preschool council, and family enrichment. We are meeting for 10 minutes following this service. We're going to meet in Smith Hall very briefly. So if you could meet with me just after this service concludes, that would be very helpful. Let's see. Jason.
Good morning. If you've been here any of the last four Sundays, three leading up to today, you know that we've been participating in a focus on love at last sight, which is a focus on relationships and building strong Christian relationships, both friendships and spousal relationships and dating relationships. We've had some small groups meeting. Our worship services are focused around this theme, and Raymond will be preaching about today the art of risking awkwardness, which is the third main theme of love at last sight. We've also had some small groups, and I want to invite you, if you haven't been already, or if you'd like to participate in a small group discussion, we have two opportunities for you this week. One tonight, which is a group that I lead, we'll be meeting at from 6 to 7 downstairs. Also, there's a group that meets on Wednesday night from 6:30 to 7:30 downstairs, also led by Karen Valentine. If you haven't been to one yet, you can still come. These discussions stand alone to a large extent, but they'll be building off of the message from today. So even if you haven't been, even if you haven't read, we would love to have you. And if you feel led to come this week or next week, which will be our final week, they're just four small group sessions. And next week's session is the art of letting go. We would love to have you at either one of these sessions. And I wanted to issue you a personal invitation. Thanks.
We'd like to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. You have already given us your information. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. Just a minute ago, you gave us your information on the pew pads, and we certainly appreciate that. We would like to give something back to you. You will find the ushers coming down as they finally make their way down. They're going to... I try to stall. We're going to blame Andrew because he's up in the balcony. If you're a guest, just raise your hand right there where you are, and our ushers will recognize you and give you a packet of information. Inside the packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor, as well as a newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our church. So we're especially blessed by your presence this day, and we pray that God would reveal himself in a mighty way during this hour of worship. And before we move into our called conference, Raymond would like to have a word.
This morning, we're going to be making a decision about our summer missions plans. And I just want to ask you, I know that you are a loving family, and I want us to encourage in that vein. And so I want you to understand that our goal this morning is clarity. I ask you please not to use any kind of parliamentary procedures to close down the discussion or the questions until it's obvious that there are no more questions or discussion, because we really want your questions to be answered satisfactorily. So if you would just do me that favor of being nice and making sure everybody gets their questions answered this morning. Can you do that? Just nod your head this way. Good. Fantastic. I now invite our church moderator, Chris May, if he would come and call us into conference.
Good morning. At this time, I will call us into conference. A few weeks ago, the Summer Mission Committee came to you to ask for a few more weeks to go back and get some questions answered, get some more information. And we are at that two-week period today. And at this time, I'd like to recognize Barbie Morgan.
Thank you. I want to give you a brief history of our summer mission project, and then I want to answer some questions. We have a few questions that have been brought up repeatedly that we wrote out some answers to, so the ushers have those. If you would like to get written answers, just raise your hand and they'll pass them out to you while I'm talking. But just in case, we have new people and visitors here. In 1989, College Park began doing a summer mission project. And that year, our Baptist men went to Williamsburg, Kentucky, and we framed in a house. Our youth group went the next week and did the drywall. So we spent 2 weeks framing, doing drywall, and it took about 6 more weeks for the house to be finished and the family to move in. The second year, we decided we could do that a little bit better, so we put the youth and the adults together, and we went for 10 days, and we got the house framed in, drywalled, and most of everything else done. The third year, we decided we could do it even better if we got ourselves a little bit better organized. So in 1 week, we put youth and adults together, and we finished the house so that the family could move in. Last year, 20-some years later, we've gotten so good that we can take over 100 people, and we can begin the house on Monday morning with nothing but a foundation and move the family into a fully finished, furnished house by Thursday afternoon. Old-timers here know that. That's nothing to do with age. That was with longevity at College Park. New-timers don't know that yet. But because of a variety of reasons, we had to change our location for the house. We've been going to Kentucky up in the Appalachian Mountains every year, and that ministry was no longer available to us, so we had to find a new location, and we hoped to be able to do the same house, the same floor plan, just in a new spot. Coincident with that, for the first time, we had a formal committee organized to make the planning for this project, so that timing worked out pretty well. That's why, for the first time, we're actually having a church vote about this project, and if the vote is favorable, then we will do this project as we're getting ready to tell you. And if it's not favorable, then the committee will come up with a new plan. So some of the questions that we have been asked already are, where will we go? We have located a mission organization called Grifton Mission Ministry. And it's in Grifton, North Carolina, which is in Pitt County near Greenville, North Carolina. About 3.5-4 hours away, depending on how quick you are in your driving. Grifton Ministries has a licensed contractor who's the director. He will pull the building permits for us. He is working very closely with Pitt County, and they will select the family who will receive the house. At this preliminary stage, the county would like for us to build a house for an elderly lady who's in a desperate situation and has no family to take care of her. But that's not set firm yet. But Pitt County, North Carolina, is where we would like to suggest that this house be built. Can it be the same house? Yes, it can be the very same floor plan that we've been doing. What about the inspections? Moving from the hills of Kentucky, where our only inspection was an electrical inspection, to North Carolina, where we have 50,000 different inspections, is going to present a challenge to us. We'll have to change our building techniques to match up some high wind regulations, and we'll have to make sure we do it right or the inspector will make us rip it out. Pitt County has agreed to assign us an inspector who will be on call whenever we need to have an inspection done. Billy Tarleton, the director of this mission group, is very familiar. He's built several houses there using mission teams, and he knows how we need to do it, and he'll be there to coach us on that. One question was, what about July the 4th? That's Monday. Monday's the day we get this house under roof. There are a lot of inspections that take place before the house is under roof, and this inspector will come out and work with us on Monday. Will we have enough people? I don't know. We always do. We're going to assume that just moving it from Kentucky 6 hours away to Pitt County 3 hours away, we're going to assume we still have enough people to get the job done. We're going to assume that we'll have the same kind of sign-ups that we've had before. The cost of going will be very similar to what it has been before. And that's something we're going to find out as we progress through this. What if we can't finish? Let's pretend like we do something and the inspector says, oh, you did it wrong. We have to rip it out and start over on some big part of the project and it holds up something else. And we can't get finished. Grifton Ministries has work teams coming every week and they'll finish the house if we don't get it done. We are going to suggest that we allow from Sunday until Saturday to finish the house. Whereas before we've been finishing on Friday and driving home on finishing on Thursday and driving home on Friday, we're going to push that till Saturday, just in case there's a little snafu that comes up. We plan to finish. We plan to be able to get advance information about any changes we need to make so that we don't have to rip anything out. But the problem with not knowing something is that you don't know it. So we're going to allow a couple of extra days for that. And the biggest question that we've had, the most frequent question and the most vital question is, can we afford it? How much will it cost? We think we can get the building materials for the same as what we've been paying, which is $26,000. We've been successful in raising that money in prior years, so we assume that we'll be successful again. Can we promise that? Of course not. God doesn't give us a spirit of fear. He gives us a spirit of faith. So we're going to walk forward with faith, assuming that the church wants to do this. We do have additional things that Cumberland College in Kentucky covered that Grifton Ministries does not. One is the foundation. Clemens First Baptist is going to build and pay for the foundation. Another is the heat system and having a licensed plumber. Pitt County will put $5,000 toward this house of county money, and that will more than cover the plumbing and the heat system. North Carolina Baptist Men has some cabinets that are brand new and extra, and we can use those cabinets so we don't have to buy those. Everything else should be pretty much the same as what we've been doing. There's also a question about having a North Carolina licensed electrician, and we think we have found an electrician who's been to Mountain Outreach with us before and has worked with us before, so we're hoping that that will work out, but we're still talking back and forth about it. So the committee is working to make everything as close to the same as it has been, and whatever modifications we get because of regulations, we hope to build into our plan. So our committee, the Summer Mission Project Committee, would like to move that College Park Baptist Church work with Grifton Mission Ministry and Pitt County to build a home for a needy family during the week of July 3rd, 2011. If you have additional questions, I can take some questions from the floor, and this is a business meeting, so that's very appropriate. Right now we have about $16,000 in the fund for this project. Of the 26 that we need, we already have 16. Anybody else have a question? If you're new to College Park, you're welcome to go. You want to go over that?
Okay. In a minute, if there are no other comments, discussion, questions. Just a couple of points that I'd like to mention. First, the voting is for our church members, so guests, please bear with us. We'll be passing out ballots in just a moment. If you did happen to vote at the 9 o'clock service, please do not take another ballot and vote again. Please just bear with us. And again, because this is coming from a committee, it does not require a second. So at this time, if the ushers could begin to pass out the ballots, we'll just make a mention of the ballot itself so that we can give clarity to the information that's on the ballot.
As you're voting, the first lines have for you to say whether you're in favor or against this project. And that would be, like we said, church members only and vote once. Then in the second part, that is not a binding answer on the second part. We just need to get a feel for participation financially and on the work site. And, you know, if you participate by making us cakes and turkey breasts and things like that, that's participating. If you participate by donating furniture, that's participating. And if you participate by going with us, that's participating. So if you would indicate whether you can participate financially, and that's not instead of giving a church offering. We don't want to rob the church from being able to pay their electric bill because we're going to build this other house. But if you're willing to participate with your money or with your time, just indicate that, and that will help our committee to know sort of what numbers we're looking at for this project for this year. Thank you. After you complete your ballot, if you'll fold it in half and pass it to one of the aisles, then the ushers will pick them back up. And I think some deacons are counting them sometime this afternoon. Tom, did somebody get the nursery workers? Did somebody? Okay.
Has everyone had a chance to complete their ballot and turn it in? Okay, if there's nothing else, I will call us out of conference. Thank you.
All right, thank you to Chris and to Barbie and the entire committee. We certainly appreciate everyone's efforts making this vote possible. That was all the prelude to why we're here. That was all the preliminary stuff. Why we're here is to worship. Why we were created was to worship. Let that sink in for just a moment. Why you and I were made is to worship. The one who made you and I. The one who knows every hair on our head. For some of us, that's a little less than others. But he knows everything about us. And he wants to be in a relationship with us. He calls us to do things like summer mission trips and to be nursery workers. But this is why we were made, to worship. Let us prepare to meet him together.
Trees and fields join in glad refrain. I will always rejoice in.
Will you pray with me? Father, that song is so very true. I will always rejoice. Forever and ever and ever we will rejoice because you are our God. You are our Lord. You are our Savior. And for those reasons we have come into the sanctuary. Gathered as the body of Christ. Gathered as the church. To worship you. To rejoice in your name. Hear us as we worship. Be in this place, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
As we continue our worship during Lent, Easter is only 3 weeks away. And as part of our Lenten worship and focus on the journey to the cross, we're called to confess our sins and acknowledge the great gift of Jesus Christ who died for us in atonement for our sins. Hear this call to confession from 1 John 2. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but for the sins of the whole world. Let us join together in prayer as we confess to God. Dear Lord, it has been powerful to experience worship during Lent. To consider the sacrifice of your Son that you gave to us, not because of who we are, but because of who you are and your great love for us. Lord, we want to honor your gift to us and your love by freely confessing our sins to you, asking for forgiveness in the name of Jesus Christ, and experiencing the redemption and the grace and mercy that you have allowed us to experience. Lord, as we think about confession, it's sometimes a hard topic for us to get our minds around. And when we think about it, you know everything that we've ever done. You know everything that has crossed our minds. You know every word that has crossed our lips. why, Lord, then do we need to confess? But then we realize, Lord, in our moments of clarity and understanding, that the confession is not just for you, it's also for us. You have given us this great gift. You have presented us with these concepts of redemption and grace and mercy, which don't mean anything in human terms, but mean everything in eternal terms. And we want to experience that, and we want to honor you, Lord. And we come to you this morning to confess our sins. We are not perfect. And we give great thanks that Jesus Christ, the righteous one, as written in the scripture, is our defender and our advocate. Lord, our sins take many forms, too many to even list. We each know the ones that we have committed this week and this day, as we have done different things and not done different things that have separated us from you, whether for a short time or a long time, or maybe a very long time. Lord, for our laziness, for our greed, for our pride, for our selfishness, for all the ways that we have focused on ourselves and that we have followed the example of this world and not followed the example of your Son, we apologize, Lord. We bring those sins to you. There's so many things, Lord, we have to lift up to you. We give them to you this day to honor you and to cleanse ourselves so that we may see more clearly, that we may live more purposefully as your people, created in your image, loved by you, and not forsaken by you, despite the fact that we continue to sin daily and fall short of your glory and Jesus' example. Lord, we give this to you today humbly. We give this to you today as people who do believe in you, who do believe in Jesus Christ, who is real and living in this world, living in our hearts, and continuing to give us a gift that you gave to us centuries ago, a gift that we did not deserve, but that makes all the difference in our lives. Lord, as a Christian people gathered in your name this morning in worship, we confess to you our imperfections. We confess to you our weaknesses. We lift them up to you and pray that your love, that your mercy, and your grace and redemption will continue to flow through us and make us stronger, to make us more in your image, and help us to be the people that you created us to be. Dear Lord, for everything that you do for us today and every day, we thank you. Amen. An assurance of our pardon. This is from Psalm 103, selected verses. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who do fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. This is the word of God and the promise of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. For those of you that don't know, we have a Sunday school class made up of young single career folks. They are college graduates who are now in law school or medical school or business school. We have career people who are working. And every week, Alice Wilson and I have the privilege of facilitating that class. I won't say we teach them anything, but we get to be in there. And for a little while, we get to be young with them. We like to call ourselves their church mamas for those who live out of town. So we are undergoing a study in that class called Crazy Love. And I don't know how I was able to walk out here today, because between Raymond's sermons and this Sunday school series, it has stomped all over my feet once or twice. And so I wanted to read you a scripture from the lesson that we had today. It's taken from Isaiah 58, verse 10. And it says, "And if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday." We have been given a choice that we can sit on our laurels or we can put ourselves out there. And when we put ourselves out there, the reward is so much richer for ourselves. So would you pray with me, please? Gracious Father, this is the day that you have made, and we are rejoicing and we are glad in it. How beautiful your world. The spring, the flowers, the trees, the buds, the grass. How beautiful is your world, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we can come to you, that we can sing praises to you. But most of all, Lord, we know that you convict us to shed ourselves of our selfishness, of our pride, of the things that we spend so much time on that are so petty. And Father, we lay these down at your feet. And we come and lift up everything to you. Our love, our praise, our faithfulness. And we pray, Lord, that you would use us in whatever capacity that might be. That we would share our talents. That we would give of ourselves each day in our work and in our play. We ask that you use these offerings. May they go to your glory, Lord, and your benefit. Amen.
is shrinking a little each day. She's the woman whose husband has Yahweh. She'll go to the gym after working a day. Maybe if she was thinner, then he would have stayed. And she says, who will love me for me? Not for what I have done or what I will become. Who will love me for me? 'Cause nobody showed me what love really means. What love really means. He's waiting to die as he sits all alone. He's the man in the cell who regrets what he's done. He utters a cry from the depths of his soul. Oh Lord, forgive me, I want to go home. Then he heard a voice somewhere deep inside, and it said,
to move that microphone so I don't stomp on it when I get to cavorting around here in a minute. That would be an awkward moment, wouldn't it? What are some of your awkward moments? Can you think of times in your life where you've had one of those awkward moments? What was usually involved in awkward moments? I mean, let's keep it within ratings here. Foot in mouth. Yeah, he said something that is very, very awkward. Usually, our most awkward moments are times that involves another person, isn't it? You know, or we do something and other people observe that. I mean, it's really, it can be very strange at times, but whatever the response of those to your awkward moment, sometimes you almost feel a sense of accomplishment in the courage it took to take the risk. If it was something that was appropriate and you put yourself out there, you know, it's kind of one of those situations. And I don't think that our relationships grow deeper and stronger without risking a little bit of awkwardness, because love risks being awkward. Let me explain. You know, meeting someone's need with the motivation being love sometimes doesn't come real naturally for us. Jesus gave us an example. He risked being awkward. The Son of God risked being awkward. In John chapter 1 verse 14, it says, the Word became human. Another translation says flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, made his home among us. And you go, well, that's great. That's not awkward. Well, sure it is. Think about it. The supernatural Son of God put on an uncomfortable outfit of human flesh, frail, weak, and vulnerable. He stepped out of the comfort of paradise, of his heavenly home, and he came into this imperfect world, broken world. He came here. Why? He risked being awkward so that we could relate to him better and that he could reveal himself more completely to us. I don't know about you, but I found that whenever I've risked awkwardness, more often than not, something good comes out of it. A deeper connection. You know, too often we settle for kind of superficial relationships that really don't experience the depth of love that God really means for us to have in our relationships. We may be afraid to step out of our comfort zone, or we might be embarrassed, so we kind of crawl into this shell of protection, and we don't put ourselves out there. So that's not really living. In my book, that's just not really living. Life is full of risk. We can acknowledge that. Life is full of risk. And if I'm going to have a closer relationship with my wife or with my children, I have to, if I want to love like God wants me to love, I've got to step out of my comfort zone. I have to get into their lives. I have to be all there, as we said a couple of weeks ago. I have to be fully engaged in that relationship. I have to be intentional, as we talked about last week. I have to evaluate where I am and where I want to go and how I'm going to get there, and then ask for God's help and God's guidance as He leads me in the direction He wants me to go. All these things we've talked about in the series are kind of starting to come together now. Because the more I get over my feelings of awkwardness and risk deeper conversations, the closer I get with people. The deeper the experience that we have with one another and with God. We face our struggles. We face our failures. We face our fears. And we open up to one another. There's a story in the New Testament of five friends who risk awkwardness in their relationship. It's a well-known story. And I've preached from this text, I think, a couple years ago, but I want you to hear it today in a slightly different emphasis. And to hear it, it's because it's such a common story, I'm not going to ask you to open your Bible to read along with me. I'm not even going to ask you to look at me while I read it. What I'm going to ask you to do is I want you to close your eyes, and as I read it, it'll be from the New Living Translation, which is a little bit different translation. As I read the story, I want you to put yourself in the picture. Put yourself in the story. And I'm not going to tell you which character to be. Okay? I'm not going to tell you what character, but I want you to put yourself in the story. So close your eyes now and hear the story from Mark chapter 2. When Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. Soon the house where he was so packed with visitors that there was no more room, even outside the door. And while he was preaching God's word to them, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd. So they dug a hole through the roof above his head. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "My child, your sins are forgiven. Stand up, pick up your mat, and go home." And the man jumped up, and he grabbed his mat, and he walked out through the stunned onlookers. They were all amazed, and they praised God, exclaiming, "We've never seen anything like this before." You can open your eyes. I don't know about you, but when I read a story like that, I can't help but picture in my mind's eye, and what would it have been like to be there? Can you imagine something happening like this in front of you, being a part of it, experiencing God like these people experienced him that day, whether it's one of the five men or whether it's one of the crowd that was there? Can you imagine being there? And I sit there and I say, I want that kind of relationship. Both with God and with the people that were there. Imagine what it would be like for a moment. You hear the story. Jesus preaching. He's there. He's preaching God's word. It's packed. The house is packed inside and out in the courtyard. People longing to be there. You know, the word got out. He was coming back to town. And so they're there. They're packed in there. Now our attention begins to move away. And we see this other little group. It's this little band of five men, and they're coming down the dusty road to Capernaum. And as they come, you see one man is sick, and he's there on a stretcher. He couldn't have made it there without his four friends. And they're one at each corner of the stretcher, probably. And here they come, and they can't get in the house because the crowd filled up the doors, the windows, the courtyard. I mean, the place is packed. And what follows is a series of awkward moments. Roof being torn up, the debris falling down in among the people and probably on Jesus. Jesus' teaching being interrupted. A lot of awkward moments here that we can well imagine. And you may be sitting there going, Raymond, what does this have to do with love at last sight? It has everything. This story teaches us that meaningful relationships and authentic faith involve risk. In fact, someone once said that faith is actually spelled R-I-S-K. And if you want to see a miracle in your relationships, like we read about here, sometimes you have to risk awkwardness. But how do you do that? Well, we're going to look at it. If you want to take notes in your bulletin there, we're going to follow the acrostic R-I-S-K. Okay, and we're going to go from there. R, I think, stands reach out to others. Reach out to other people. To experience love at last sight, I have to risk the awkwardness of reaching out to other people. I can't wait for them to reach out to me. Remember the discussion we had last week about being intentional? Taking that first step? This is a natural continuation of that. Reaching out to other people. This paralytic would have remained lost and paralyzed if it hadn't been for his four friends who took the risk to reach out to him and to reach out to Jesus. They didn't just sit around thinking, oh, wouldn't it be great if our friend could walk? Wouldn't it be great? Poor fella, he can't walk, so he can't get to Jesus. What good are friends like that? You may have friends like that. I don't know. But what good are those kind of friends? They risked. They put themselves out there to help their friend. It's easy to ignore someone when they're hurting or trouble. It really is. And we blame it on a number of things. We can rationalize it all we want. You know, you say, well, I'm not sure what to say. I'm not sure what to do. That would be too awkward. So as a result of that, we just don't do anything. Now, we may say, well, I'll pray for you, brother. And that's fine and good. And don't hear what I'm saying very clearly. Many times when we say, well, I'll pray for you, the translation of that is, I'm not going to do anything. I'm not minimizing prayer. If we truly pray for that person, that's great. But a lot of times we use, I'll pray for you, as a cop-out not to do anything. So if you're going to pray for them, truly pray for them. And hear what God says for you to do to help them. That's what I'm saying. Meaningful relationships can get messy. They really can. They take time. They take effort. They take expense sometimes. But if you want to develop strong and meaningful, enduring relationships, if we want to do that, if we want to experience love at last sight kind of relationships, we have to risk awkwardness. Sometimes it's as simple as a phone call, a letter, a visit, just to say, I care about you. That first step is usually the most awkward one. But we have to reach out. Reach out for others. That's what these four men did. Hear verse 2 again. While Jesus was preaching God's word to them, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They were carrying him. Galatians 6 verse 2 says, carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. Now look around you. Go ahead. Look around you. See who's sitting beside you. In front of you. Behind you. Look around you. See who is around you. And then ask yourself the question, whose burden have I lightened lately? Who have I helped? Because I assure you, someone around you is carrying a heavy load. It may be financial, it may be emotional, it may be physical, but someone needs your help. I guarantee you. And in here, in your workplace, wherever you are, wherever in your social circles, I guarantee you there are people that need your help. They don't know what to do right now, and they may feel paralyzed by that knowledge. Love at Last Sight says, I want to lift the load that you're trying to carry by yourself. I want to help you with that load. I want to be there beside you so that we can both experience the miracle of Christ in our lives, in our relationship together. So who are you reaching out to? The flip side of that is, who may be reaching out to you? Maybe someone is trying to say that they care about you and that they want to help you. Because just as we need to reach out, sometimes we need to receive. Amen? Sometimes we just need to take it in. There's a rhythm in life that it's giving and receiving. 2 Corinthians 1:4 says, He comes alongside us when we go through hard times. And before you know it, He brings us alongside someone else who is going through hard times so that we can be there for that person just as God was there for us. That's kind of what tomorrow is about. Community Day of Prayer. Thank you for all of you who helped put this idea into place and have helped, you know, cultivate it and get the word out about it. We have many churches around us that have let me know that they're planning, they're announcing it to their people. They want to participate. It's a timely event. Thank you for those of you that have helped with this. I mean that. But that's what it's about. It's about coming alongside those who are hurting, letting them know that we care deeply. Reach out. That's the R. The I stands for ignore the discomfort. Because when you start to reach out to others, you may begin to feel a little bit awkward. You may begin to feel a little bit of discomfort there at first, and that's very natural. You won't have to look for excuses. You won't have to look for barriers because Satan will provide all those you want. And again, we can rationalize it away. Love at first sight goes south whenever things get tough. Love at last sight continues to say if there's a problem, there's a silence, there's something that's not quite in a relationship, with God's help, I'm going to dig in, I'm going to do some good work on this thing, I'm going to risk awkward questions and uncomfortable conversations. As I've already said, God did this for us. He risked awkwardness, leaving the glory of heaven and coming here. Because He loved us, He took the risk to enter our world. And I don't know about you, but I am thankful that He did. Jesus ignored the discomfort. He took the risk to reach out to me. And if I'm going to deepen the relationships that I have with those who I love, I'm going to ignore the discomfort to reach out to them. The four men in our story did that. Look at the hurdles that they faced. Think about it. Talk about risking awkwardness. Once they took the initiative to take their friend and take him to Jesus, they had a built-in barrier, a crowd. Scripture says they couldn't get in. They couldn't get in the normal avenues because of the crowd. They just couldn't get in. And I thought about that. How often in our lives are our lives so crowded that our relationships suffer from it? You know, our schedule is so crowded with more than we can possibly accomplish, to do what really doesn't matter, and to impress people we really don't even like. We do that. And then we give the ones that we love the most the leftovers, if there is any. But these men didn't let the crowd stop them. Look what they did. This is kind of extreme. They went up on the roof. Scripture tells in verse 4, they couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, so they dug a hole in the roof above Jesus' head. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. That's an awkward moment, people. That is an awkward moment. I don't know how Jesus' meeting was going. Scripture doesn't tell us. It just says that he was preaching God's word. It doesn't tell how things are going to that point, but I guarantee you it got their attention. The roofs were constructed where they had sticks that were laid across, and then they had mud and stuff that was on top of them. Sometimes the goats went up there to eat, kind of mow the roof, okay? And so when they start digging down, there would have been a lot of debris that would sprinkle down. That's an awkward moment. Jesus, don't mind me. You don't mean to interrupt, but, you know, I just thought I'd drop in, you know? Help me out here. You know, that's awkward. That is a very awkward moment. These friends, if you think about it, they practiced three of the arts we've been talking about. When they were lowering the guy in there, they practiced the art of being all there. They practiced the art of acting intentionally. They practiced the art of risking awkwardness. It's a good thing they didn't practice the art of letting go, because we'll talk about that next week. All right? Well, I guess they did let go when he actually reached the ground. But the point is, if you want the relationships with those that you love to experience that, like God meant for us to, you have to be willing to ignore a little bit of discomfort, break through the barriers that are in the way, Understand it takes time. It takes much. Somebody had to pay for the roof. Okay? Sometimes we forget about that. Somebody had to pay for the roof. It'll take effort. It'll take hard work. But if you reach out to others and you ignore discomfort, your relationships will go to a level that you've never dreamed of. That's the R. Reach out. The I. Ignore the discomfort. The S stands for share your heart. That's awkward in and of itself, isn't it? It's awkward to expose your heart, to open up. You know, it leaves us with a sense of vulnerability. And human beings in general don't like that. But if you want to move past the shallow, superficial relationships and get deep, connected, rich relationships like God meant for us to have, you have to let go of the pretense. You have to expose your true self. And the paralytic did this. He had to let his friends take him to Jesus. He had to be willing to be open and honest with them. You know, as he allowed them to do that. To really share my heart, I have to step out. Step out of my comfort zone and risk being awkward. You know? Can you imagine what kind of risk it took for this paralytic to get in front of Jesus that day? Have you ever wondered about him? Talk about the awkwardness of revealing. As he's being lowered, I can imagine his mind, he's thinking, what's Jesus going to say? What's Jesus going to do? Is he going to be angry because we interrupted his teaching? I love this story because it gives me hope. It gives me courage to share my heart with God and the people I love. The Bible says Jesus saw their faith. Verse 5 says, seeing their faith, faith is the heart of the matter. Faith risks the awkwardness of revealing your heart, your deepest longings, your needs, trusting that Jesus loves you and wants the best for you. Faith is the key. In fact, the Bible says in Hebrews 11, chapter 6, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. If I'm going to connect with God and others, it will take faith to reveal my heart to him. But revealing your heart is the first step in living from your heart. And only when you live from your heart can you truly be free. I have to be honest with you. There's times when your heart may get broken. When you open yourself up, you may get your heart broken. Sometimes you risk love and it's not returned. Sometimes you make a commitment to a relationship, they don't return that commitment to you. Sometimes you're going to make yourself vulnerable and you're going to get your heart stomped on and handed back to you. That's life. People can be hurtful. They really can. C.S. Lewis said this, though, and hear what he wrote. To love it all is to be vulnerable. Love anything and your heart will certainly be wrung and possibly broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give your heart to no one, not even an animal. Wrap it up carefully, round with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in the casket or coffin of your selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. You see, nobody wants a heart like that. Nobody does. And if you want to experience love at last sight, the kind of relationships that go the distance, weathering the storms of life and not just surviving, but thriving through those storms, take the risk. Reach out to other people, ignore the discomfort, share your heart, and if you need one more word of encouragement, let's get off the diamond. Here it is. K stands for know the reward is greater than the risk. Know the reward is greater than the risk. Was it worth the risk for these men to carry their friend to Jesus, to go the extreme of cutting a hole in the roof and interrupting a prayer meeting to let their friend down in front of Jesus? Was it worth the awkward feeling that paralytic man had as they lowered him in front of Jesus and all those people? Look at verse 5. Jesus said to the paralyzed man, my child, your sins are forgiven. Stand up. Pick up your mat and go home. And the man jumped up, grabbed his mat, and walked through the stunned onlookers. They were amazed and they praised God, exclaiming, "We've never seen anything like this before." If this man could be here today and you ask him, was the risk worth it? Was the risk worth it? I'm sure he would tell you a resounding yes. It was worth it. Yes, it was worth it. You better believe it. It didn't feel like it when they were carrying me there, especially when they were lowering me and down from that roof in front of all those people. But yes, it was absolutely worth it. It was worth risking the awkwardness all the way around. You should have seen the look on their faces when I picked up my mat and walked through them. Yes, it was worth it. Not only did he heal my legs, but he healed my heart. Yes, I've been set free. Yes, it was worth it. I am so thankful for my friends who loved me enough to risk what they did for me. Yes, it was worth it. I will never forget it. The risk is always, the reward is always greater than the risk when we reach out to others, ignore the discomfort, and share our hearts. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we thank you for the chance to be together as your children and to learn from the example that Jesus gave us, to learn from the stories in your word of how people risk the awkward moments in their lives in order to help others, in order to help more fully reveal the love that you have for us. God, we thank you for the chance to be together and to draw encouragement from your Holy Spirit as well as one another. And we pray that as this week progresses, that you would reveal to us how you want us to step out of our comfort zone and reach out to others, those who are hurting, those who have needs. Father, give us that kind of insight and the courage to act upon it. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. We're going to stand in just a moment and sing. And as we stand and sing, if you do not know Jesus personally, this is your day. I'll be glad to share with you. I'll be here at the front. I'll be glad to share with you how you can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're here and you say, Raymond, you know, I know exactly where you're coming from today because I have this fear of awkward encounters with people. And I need to just trust God more and let Him guide me and give me the courage for that. That's certainly something you can talk with God about while you're there at your seat, or you're welcome to come here to the altar and pray. And I'll be glad to speak with you if you'd like me to. If you're here and you say, I'd like to be a member of this church, you seem to take good care of each other, and I want to be a part of that. I want to worship with you and work with you. We receive members in many ways, and I'd be glad to share how we receive members if you would like to be a part of this fellowship. Whatever your decision is, I invite you to, as you stand with me, if you want to make that public, feel free to do so. Let's sing together now. I want to suggest to you that as you leave, after we have the benediction response, if you would, turn to each other, give a word of encouragement. I hope that you all have a wonderful week. I was just given the results of the vote from both the 9 o'clock and the 11 o'clock service. There were a total of 224 ballots that were cast. There were 182 affirmative votes, which is 81%, 42 against, which is 19%. So the motion carries. And again, thank you to the committee for their hard work. Let's close in a word of prayer together. Gracious Father, we thank you for all that you do for us. God, you've given us life. You've given us life eternal. We pray that we would be faithful as your children to share the love of Jesus Christ, to live it out so that others can see what a difference that you make in our lives. God, we love you, and we pray for your courage and your strength this week as we go and seek to live out our faith. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's R-A-M-O-N @collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.